You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Argyle Chat, the weekly Argyle podcast brought to you by Plymouth Live Sports Desk.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Argyle Chat. Thank you for joining us. This is Chris Errington and I have a special guest today, Mike Sampson. Now, Mike, you will be familiar, I'm sure, does a lot of the coverage and sees lots of the Argyle youth team games, the South West Peninsula League, the under-18s, the Central League. So with Mike being our guest today, we'll be able to talk about youth development at Argyle, and there's been lots of games going on recently in the Central League, the South West Peninsula League and the Premier League Cup, so it seems like a good opportunity to catch up with Mike and get some thoughts from him. We're recording this podcast just a few minutes after seeing Argyle play their latest Central League game. They played a top of the table clash, Argyle top against second place MK Dons at Home Park on Tuesday afternoon, and perhaps surprisingly, especially considering the team that Argyle had out, they were beaten 5-0 by MK Dons, with former Exeter City striker David Wheeler getting a three of the goals. But we'll come back to that a bit later on in the podcast. If you hear any sounds of chattering teeth, it's because Mike and I are freezing, aren't we, Mike?
Absolutely.
It was a cold old afternoon at the back of the Barn Park end. Yeah. And so we're beginning to thaw out as we record the podcast. So, Mike, thank you for joining us. And hopefully we'll be a little bit warmer by the time we finish this podcast.
Yeah, people say I speak with a lot of hot air.
Now, Mike was at Saltash United on Saturday when quite a strong Argyle team were beaten 3-1 in the South West Peninsula League. We'll discuss that with Mike in shortly. I was obviously up at Sunderland, the Stadium of Light, to see Argyle beaten 2-0 by the Black Cats. And, you know, clearly it was a disappointing day for Argyle. Not an unexpected result, because given Sunderland's position in the table, the strength of their squad, I mean, one of the highlights, you know, in terms of the difference between the two clubs, right, Will Grigg is a £4 million striker. He started the game for Sunderland, and then they replaced him late on in the game with another £1 million plus striker in Charlie Wyke. And, you know, I wonder what Derek Adams makes of things like that when he sees players of that quality and the amount of money that they cost, you know, playing against his side, because it's just chalk and cheese, isn't it? You know, the difference between the likes of Sunderland and Argyle. Just a brief thought or two on the game. You know, Argyle never really got going. They didn't really get in on the front foot at any stage. Freddie Ladapo had a chance early on that went wide, but apart from that, as an attacking force, Argyle didn't do too much. Carey and Namiris, so important for them over the recent run of results, weren't factors in the game, were dealt with well by Sunderland. And, you know, Argyle were in the game in the terms of Sunderland didn't have masses of clear-cut opportunities, but they needed Kyle Leverin to make a couple of important saves in the first half. Otherwise, Sunderland would have been more than the 1-0 ahead they were at the break, which came courtesy of a goal from Lee Catamol just after the half hour mark. Carey caught in possession, and that led to Catamol putting Sunderland ahead. The second half was more even. Argyle had a couple of opportunities. Jan Songo probably going the closest, forcing a good diving save out of John McLaughlin, and Oscar Threlko then shooting into the side netting from the follow up. But although Argyle were there or thereabouts, you couldn't really see them open up the Sunderland defence. And late on, cross coming in from the left, and George Honeyman, the Sunderland skipper, firing home past Argyle's substitute goalkeeper Matt Macy, who'd come on for Kyle Leverin after he suffered a groin injury. And we'll again touch on the Kyle Leverin groin injury and the goalkeeping situation at Argyle in a minute with Mike. So just a few general observations. On the Argyle Chat Facebook page that we have, and thank you to all those of you that have liked it. If you haven't, type in Argyle Chat on Facebook and you'll find our own dedicated page to the podcast. We also saw some questions from you from our listeners on that, and we've had a good response. Thank you very much. You're always welcome to ask your questions on the Argyle Chat Facebook page. Now, Mike, I'm going to get Mike to read the questions out, and we'll have a quick answer of a few of the questions. So, Mike, if you could fire away.
Yes, first of all, we have a question from Jessica Wigginton. Do you agree with Adam's comments that the occasion got to the Argyle players on Saturday?
Well, it was interesting. One of the first phrases he used after the game in his post-match press conference was that he thought the Argyle players were scared. And that's quite a strong word to use, isn't it?
Yeah.
He also went on to say that he thought the occasion got to the players, and I would agree with that, definitely. I'm not sure they were scared. I mean, they are professional football players. They will have all played in high-profile games at one stage or another. You know, you look at the likes of Graham Carey. He will have played at Celtic and Rangers and clubs like that in front of massive crowds. So I'm not sure that they were necessarily scared, but I think the occasion definitely got to them. They never got into the game. They never really imposed themselves. And, you know, the key players, the people that you were looking to make an important contribution for Argyle, didn't do that. Sunderland are a good side. They've got good players. It's a fantastic stadium, 32,000 crowd. You know, lots of good things to say about Sunderland as a club. But I do think Argyle didn't do themselves justice. So yes, I'd be inclined to agree that the occasion did get to them.
Right. Thank you, Chris. The second question is from Dave Searle. It says, "Did you think putting the travelling Argyle fans up in the gods is tactical by Sunderland, so the fans can't influence a ref? If we were behind the goal Saturday for the penalty shout, we would have put him under more pressure."
A couple of good points by Dave. Thank you for the question. Yes, the Argyle fans, all 1,700 of them, were in the top tier of the stand behind one of the goals. 1,700 fans normally at most League One grounds would look a lot of people.
Yes.
But in the 49,000 seat Stadium of Lights, it was a very small part of the big stadium. You could hear them definitely throughout the game. At times they were making more noise than the home fans, but they were very far from the action. And so, you know, from a Sunderland point of view, would you put fans up into the very top tier to keep them away from, you know, from influencing the pitch? Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. It would make, from a Sunderland point of view, it would make sense, wouldn't it, Mike?
To
have fans as far away as possible. And the penalty incident that Dave mentioned was a good shout for a penalty from Argyle. Gary Sawyer, the Argyle captain and left back, got forward, cut inside onto his right foot, looked as though he had his shot, which was going on target, because I was behind the shot from our seat in the press box. It was on target. I'm not saying that it would have gone in, but McLaughlin would have had to have made a save at least. Argyle had a good appeal for penalty. It wasn't given. Now, if you had 1,700 Argyle fans right behind that goal,
they'd have been roaring for it.
They would have been roaring for it. And then would referee Graham Salisbury had more of a decision to make. Instead, he gave the corner despite the protests from Argyle. So, yeah, Dave, good point. It might be a case of where Sunderland are using the size of their stadium to their advantage. And, you know, at the end of the day, it is called home advantage. So, yes, I think you might well be right, Dave. Thanks for the question.
Yes, good question, that. Number three is from Richard Sloman. Do we need to change our tactics away from home? Increasingly, Carey and Lemieux are becoming anonymous in away matches. They are asked to do more tracking back and covering away, which is not their strong point, and they then cannot contribute as much offensively. Perhaps time to be more direct with Ladapo playing off Taylor.
Thanks for the question, Richard, who's one of our regular listeners and contributors of questions. I just think with the Taylor and Ladapo thing is that Derek Adams doesn't really buy into that. We've seen it at times this season, haven't we, when Taylor and Ladapo have played up front. They've started a couple of games together. They've played a few more times when Taylor's come off the bench and played alongside or just off Ladapo. I'm not sure it's really ever worked, although the counter-argument to that is unless you give them a run of games together to build up an understanding, it perhaps never will. So I'm not totally convinced that Derek Adams is really ever going to regularly play Ladapo and Taylor up front. As to the point about, you know, Carey and Lemire is becoming, you know, less effective in away games. Well, Argyle's away form recently has been decent, hasn't it? You know, they went to Peterborough and won. They had a point at Bradford. I know they didn't play well in the second half at Bradford, but they got a point. But of course, you always want to get Carey and Lemire involved in the game as much as possible. And they definitely weren't that at Sunderland. So maybe a slight tweaking of tactics. Of course, Anthony Sarcevic was missing at Sunderland on Saturday, and I think he was a big miss for them. He gives them a lot of drive going forwards, tracking back, and then it allows a bit more freedom and license to roam for Carey and Lemire when Sarcevic's there. Against Sunderland, I'll tweaked it slightly. They had David Fox sat deep in a 4-1-4-1, and Oscar Threlkeld started. And while they did okay, it was no more than okay. And when you're playing a team against like Sunderland, with the quality they have got, you've got to be better than okay to have any chance of getting a result.
Good answer.
We try our best.
Number four is from Nick Tomlinson. Another lengthy question.
Okay.
Will the squad be feeling pressure to get some kind of result against Luton, given how tight the bottom of the table is and the potential to be drawn back into the mix? Or do we feel that the squad is better than the teams around us? And will we be able to pick up points against teams from around fifth or sixth down on a consistent basis like we have since the turn of the year?
One of the keys... Thanks for the question, Nick. Nick is Mr. PIFC Displays, the man behind the flags and banners and things we see at Argyle home games. So keep up the good work, Nick. Do we think the players will be feeling the pressure? I think that win against Rochdale, the 5-1 win, was a key one because it bought Argyle some breathing space going into the away game against Sunderland and the home game against Luton. And make no mistake, you know, Luton come into Home Park on Saturday. They're top of the table. They're on a fantastic run of results. They're scoring goals for fun. That is going to be probably Argyle's toughest test of the season so far, certainly at Home Park. They are an in-form, strong, solid team. But Argyle did build up that buffer over the bottom four with that win against Rochdale. Yes, they slipped up against Sunderland. If they can get a point against Luton, I think we'd all agree that would be a good result, wouldn't we, Mike? I mean, Luton, a fantastic team at the moment.
I would prefer to say that the most important game for Argyle will be the following Tuesday, because they can build a lead over Shrewsbury.
Yes.
And who are further down the table than them. I think that's the more important. A point against Luton, but 3 points against Shrewsbury.
Yes. What Argyle have done well is that they've beaten teams in the lower, as Nick alludes to, they've beaten the teams lower down the division this season. They've had a good record against those teams. You know, they've beaten Walsall at Home Park, they've beaten Rochdale. They've picked up points against the teams they need to be making sure they finish above and keep below them. So, you know, with reference to the next question, I think that, you know, do I feel the squad's better than the teams around them? The recent results, take away the Sunderland one, which was against a good side, has been good. That's just 2 defeats in 11 games. That sort of form over the rest of the season will see them, you know, comfortably to safety. But it is tight, and no one should be under any illusions that if Argyle did have 2 or 3 bad results in a way, they'd be dragged right back into the mix. So is it important to get a result against Luton? It'd be great if they did, but I Mike makes a really good point. I think the game against Shrewsbury next Tuesday at Home Park is the one that they really need to be looking to win, you know, if at all possible.
I think you've almost answered the last question, because it's on the same theme.
Okay, well,
Michael Kimber has asked, I think Wimbledon, Rochdale and Bradford are either too far adrift or in such bad form that we should be safe from them.
Mm-hmm.
It's fourth bottom that could be a risk. Hopefully there are enough teams between us and fourth bottom, but it could be an interesting running.
I think it could be an interesting running. Thank you, Michael, for the points you make. Yes, it's... I think Argyle are 4 points clear of the relegation zone as things stand. We have 11 games to go. It's hard to believe the season's, you know, ticking down as quickly as it is. it's really important that Argyle pick up a few more wins, you know, in the next month or so to take any sort of pressure off them. But they have got an interesting run of games. You know, Luton at home will be tough. Then they're at home to Shrewsbury, away to Fleetwood, a long trip up to the northwest. And then they've got Bristol Rovers, another team that are down in the relegation mix, coming to Home Park on the 23rd of March. So, you know, you can see some really important games coming up there. And I think Argyle have just got to keep the points total ticking over as best they can, and try and win those games against the likes of Shrewsbury and Bristol Rovers, who will be looking to finish the season above come the end of the season. So, thank you very much for those questions and points that you've made. Always great to hear your points of view and opinions. And like I say, make sure you check out the Argyle Chat Facebook page. And that's a good way. If you've got any questions or points that you'd like to make, we always check that and we try and answer them, as many of them as possible. Now, on to Mike, because Mike has been a busy boy lately. He's seen Argyle beat Exeter City 1-0 in the Central League on February the 19th. He saw them win 3-2 against Cambridge United in the EFL Merit 2 League on the 22nd. He saw them beat Aston Villa impressively 4-1 in the Premier League Under 23 Cup on February the 25th. Then it was Saltash United away in the Southwest Peninsula League, and Argyle will be beaten 3-1 in that game. And then, as I say, as we're recording this, we've just watched Argyle play Milton Keynes Dons in the Central League, and they've been beaten 5-0 with former Exeter striker David Wheeler getting a hat-trick. Mike, should we just quickly just reference that game? Because a 5-0 defeat for a team that was top of the table in the Central League, you know, what did you make of what we've just seen?
Well, I was disgusted, to be quite honest. I think outside Lloyd Jones and the fullback,
Joe Riley,
mm-hmm. I couldn't think of anybody else that had anywhere near a decent game.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, three mistakes, possible mistakes by goalkeeper Matt Macy, contributed to Argyle being 3-0 down at half time.
Mm-hmm.
When for the first 25 minutes, Milton Keynes didn't even look like having a shot on goal.
Mm.
And the game was over then, to be quite honest. Argyle were chasing shadows, and which had happened second half.
Now, you mentioned those three first half goals for Milton Keynes. I think they came in a 5-minute spell. The first one was when Matt Macy slid into David Wheeler we felt it was outside the penalty area.
It was definitely
area,
a yard outside the box. To be quite honest, Wheeler never actually got in the Argyle area.
Yeah.
So how can it be a penalty?
But the penalty was awarded for that challenge, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Robbie Simpson scored. Within 2 minutes, Matt Macy's come to try and collect a ball, play forward, a hopeful ball. Robbie Simpson's beaten him to it. Wheeler's left with a tap-in. And then Wheeler's then latched onto a badly under-hit back pass from Scott Wooten. Macy couldn't get there. Wheeler nips in. And 3-0. I mean, it was a terrible 5-minute period, wasn't it?
Oh, awful, awful.
Yeah.
And my worry is that if Mr. Levering is injured for
mm-hmm.
Saturday,
mm-hmm.
will Mr. Macy's confidence be so badly hit that he won't be good enough to play against Luton?
Now, we saw Kevin Nanskival, the Argyle coach, after the game, and we did ask about the extent of the groin injury to Kyle Levering, but perhaps not surprisingly, he wasn't giving anything away about that. So he just made reference to the fact that Kyle Levering is with the medical staff, and you know, we'll find out more either later in the week or maybe even on the day of the game. But you know, clearly Kyle Levering's been an excellent form for Argyle in terms of not only making important saves at key stages of games, but the way he's organised the defence and marshalled the troops in front of him. So we'll keep our eyes peeled on what happens with Kyle Levering, but it wasn't a great afternoon for Matt Macy. He was substituted with about 20 minutes to go. Michael Cooper came on, but Kevin Nanskival said that was a premeditated change. They were always going to do that. So giving Cooper a little bit of a Central League run out. So pardon me, Mike, as I slightly cough. So, yeah, it was a poor game. Second half, it wasn't any better, was it, either?
No. No, we never looked like it. We had a couple of chances. We had one scramble in the first half where three were cleared off a line in one attack. Mm. And young Dan Rooney, who's doing really excellently with his long spell at Truro, shot over from 6 yards, volleyed over from 6 yards. But that was the sum total, to be quite honest.
Yeah. Now, let's talk more specifically about youth development, because, Mike, you've seen a lot of the games. You go to the Milk Cup or the Northern Ireland Super Cup now,
Super
it's called,
Cup,
isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Every I'm going year. Again this year.
Good. So you see the young lads when they're 15, 16 in Northern Ireland, don't you?
Yeah.
And then develop through. I mean, how sort of enjoyable is it to go to a sort of tournament like that and see the youngsters in action?
Well, I've gone 12 out of the 13 years. The only time I didn't go was when Argyll were in administration, and they couldn't go because they couldn't afford to. So I've been to 12 out of 13 years over there, and I wouldn't miss it. I'm on my way to my 3 score in 10 at the moment, but I'm still going to go over there and stay fit enough to go over there. And it's harder each year to keep up with the young lads, but it's great to see it.
Yeah.
And people like youngster like Oscar Massey last year, to see the boy win the Golden Boot for the top scorer in the competition, which is a international competition. Mm. Teams from Brazil, in Colombia, America, Australia, Russia, everything. Teams from all over the world are in this competition. And he won the Golden Boot. And as top scorer in the competition, you know, and that boy, to be honest, I think if he's handled right at Argyll, will be one to watch for the future.
So there you go, listeners. Listen out for the name. Say that again, Mike.
Oscar Massey.
Yeah, so maybe somebody that we need to be watching out for in the years to come. Now, Oscar Massey's a goal scorer and somebody that scored lots of goals for Argyll in the youth ranks. And a couple of times in the first team, but not so much recently, is Alex Fletcher. Now, he burst into the first team a couple of years ago. But over the past couple of seasons, his first team opportunities have been few and far between. Just think the one or two substitute appearances this season for him. Mike, of course, has had the benefit of seeing him in the games that I'm talking about, the Premier League Cup, the Central League. He's been captain of the Argyll team, I think, in some of those games. Mike, the Argyll fans will have seen Alex Fletcher burst onto the scene a couple of years ago. How's he doing at the moment?
Well, I feel a bit sorry for Alex, because at the moment he's playing the best football of the last 2 or 3 years. And his performance against Aston Villa was absolutely outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
He had a hand in 3 of the goals and scored one himself. And he run a lone furrow up front on his own against a very good Aston Villa side, who were only lost once in that competition, and has scored 14 goals with only 2 conceded. But he run a lone furrow up there, and he ran him ragged and fully deserved his goal, and a great 4-1 victory. It was the best I've seen the Argyll team play this season, to be quite honest, and at that standard. But Fletcher is also, he's hitting the goals, he's had 5 goals in the Central League and 3 in the last 3 games prior to today.
Yeah,
3 in 5 goals, but 3 of them came in the last 2 Central League games prior to this one.
Yeah,
he's also in the Southwest Peninsula hit in excess of 20 goals, which is a phenomenal amount. I know people say the standard is not the same. You've still got to take chances when they're there.
Yeah,
and you've still got some good goalkeepers in front of you, and he's taken them. He had a very good goal Saturday against Saltash in what was a terrible performance, because Argyll went over to Saltash with a very strong team, and I'm sorry to say it, but the senior professionals in that side let the side down terribly. They did not perform. They did not look as if they wanted to be on the pitch.
Yeah,
and I don't say that lightly, but that's what it looked like.
You feel quite strongly about that, because that's strong words, you know.
Yeah, I do feel strongly about it, because I've been an Argyll, my first game at Argyll was 1959. I've been an Argyll fan for 60 years, and I've always wanted my team to do well, and I've sweat blood for them. And I expect people who are getting well paid to sweat blood for them as well. It don't matter whether you're playing in the Southwestern League or the Central League or the first team, you give 100% for the club, and that was not happening.
But Fletcher was one of the few plus points to come out of that game.
Well, there were several little youngsters there who were trying their hardest. There was Isaac Burden.
Yeah.
He was only a 15-year-old. He was over in the Milk Cup.
Yeah.
And he was a 15-year-old, and he was the best Argo defender.
Mm.
You know, and the boy Byrne, yeah. Andy Byrne,
yeah.
He played well as well.
Mm.
And these are youngsters. Mm. They showed up, the senior professionals, to be quite honest, with their effort.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be. The senior professionals should be setting an example for the youngsters to follow, but they didn't.
So Alex Fletcher, we still think that he's got something about him?
Yeah, whether it's good enough for league football or not, you'd only find out if he went was given a chance in
yes,
there.
Yes, yeah.
But I'm certainly sure that Alex will score goals for some team,
mm.
even if he doesn't stay at Argo next season.
Now, Dan Rooney, in midfield, has been on loan at Truro City and been playing lots of games for them regularly, scoring goals, assisting. It sounds as though he's been playing well for Truro. While he's been playing for Truro, though, he's also been playing quite a few games for Argyle, hasn't he, Mike, in the
yeah.
various competitions we've talked about. You got any thoughts about Dan Rooney and his potential as a possible first-team player?
Well, I think the loan has been a big bonus for Dan.
Mm-hmm.
He's had the star man down at Truro about three or four times, I think.
Mm.
I think he scored seven goals for him. And not a bad standard of football. Remember, Torquay United are in the same league
yep.
as what he's playing in.
Yep.
And when you saw him there today, you can see that it's added something to his game. He's definitely more confident. And yeah, I think if he's given a chance, when he comes back, if he's given a chance, I think Dan could force his way into the squad.
Yeah.
Maybe not into the playing starting lineup.
Yeah.
But certainly into the squad.
Yeah. It's a problem for Argyle over the years, isn't it? They haven't been able to get too many of their young players through into the first team. Certainly, you know, there haven't been many that have become first team regulars. Mm. Ben Purrington is perhaps the only one that's really gone on and
yeah.
played any amount of
yeah.
games. I mean, that's it's disappointing, isn't it, really?
It's worrying.
Mm.
It is worrying. I think the steps that manager Adams took this season of having a very big reserve squad, I think 10 players, wasn't it, were given professional
yeah,
contracts,
yeah, yeah.
Is a step forward, because there has always been a gap between when they finish their apprenticeships at 18 to the 21-year-old.
Yeah.
There's been that gap of playing good standard football. And he tried to do it this season by giving them, it's his budget.
Mm.
You give 10 players a full-time contract, that's £4,000 to £5,000 a year,
yeah.
a week,
yep.
out of your budget.
So that can make a bit of a dent, can't it, in the budget you're talking about. And they've entered the Premier League Cup this season. They qualified for the group stage. They didn't get through to the knockout stage of the competition, but they did have a good victory over Aston Villa that Mike's just mentioned. They had, I think, was it a win, 3 draws and 2 defeats? And
yeah.
the opposition were Aston Villa, Bristol City and Derby County.
Derby County.
Strong opposition, finishing well with Aston Villa. You saw quite a few of the games in the Premier League Cup, Mike. I mean, any thoughts on the value of entering that competition and how Argyle fared in it?
Well, that's the competition, sort of competitions that Argo have got to enter.
Mm.
They've got to be playing quality opposition above the leagues that Argo play in. And that's what they were doing. And you've got to play better opposition. You can't play opposition that you can thump 6-7-8-0 like you do in the South Western League at times.
Mm.
You've got to have quality opposition.
Mm.
And that's what the Under 23 Premier League Cup is, quality opposition.
Mm. Yeah, no, the games that I saw, and I didn't see as many as Mike, it will bring on people like Luke Jeffcott, for example, and
yeah.
people like that, that are hopefully going to make the step from youth football to first team football, but they need that sort of quality of opposition. And you know, when you're playing against young players of the same age, generally speaking, there's a few overage players, but generally in the Premier League Cup it seemed to be a proper under 23 competition. You're pitting yourself against players that you might well come across in league football in years to come, and if you can make a good impression and mark in the Premier League Cup, then that will hold you in good stead going forward. And it also shows the manager, Derek Adams, that maybe you are able to make that transition. So I think the Premier League Cup's been a brilliant thing for Argyle to be involved in this season. And, you know, hopefully players will like that will benefit from it. I mean, we've touched on Alex Fletcher and Dan Rooney. Mike, you know, any other of the sort of the development squad players that have caught your eye or ones that we should be talking about?
Luke Jeffcott, obviously, I think if he's handled correctly and given the chance, the boy's confidence will grow and he's got the ability. Mm. He's a strong lad for his age. But I've got to be honest, coming through, I think Tom Puritan's come well this season. Mm-hmm. He's actually sprang up. He looks more like his brother now. And but he's playing well. Mm-hmm. He's another one that could, you know, but it's hard. It's hard because football's a cutthroat business. Mm-hmm. And success rates is the lowest of any job in the country.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say. But no, I think because of the standard they're playing most of their games in, you cannot tell, to be quite honest. I don't envy Derek Adams and Kevin Hodges in having to make decisions.
Yeah.
Because they're not having something they can put against it and say, well, look, they've played well against this team who's a good team.
Yeah.
Because the standard isn't there outside the under-23 cup.
Which is why being in the Central League is a good thing for Argyle. Although the game that we've seen today against Milton Keynes, it was a very strong Argyle team. I mean, I'll just run through the starting lineup for Argyle. And there wasn't too much, you know, too many young players on duty because it was Matt Macy, Joe Riley, Ryan Law, one of the young players coming through the ranks, Jamie Ness, Scott Wooten, Lloyd Jones, Luke Jeffcott, first year professional, Connor Grant, Ryan Taylor, Dan Rooney, and Paul Anderson. So the likes of Alex Fletcher and Alex Battle were among the subs. That shows you what a strong side Argyle had. Now, the fact they've lost 5-0. Is worrying, isn't it? Because you would have thought an Argyle team with that amount of quality would do far better than that. Although it is worth pointing out, I think, Mike, that Milton Keynes Dons had a strong side as well. They had David Wheeler, the former Exeter striker, scoring a hat-trick. Robbie Simpson, Ryan Harley, Lawson Daff. They had some good players in their side.
Lee Nichols, the goalkeeper, has played 31 times for the first team this season.
Yeah, he's been pretty much there ever-present this season. And made a couple of good saves, didn't he, during the game?
Yes, he did.
Particularly early on in the game when Argyle was still in the game. So, it wasn't a great afternoon for Argyle, as I say. Connor Grant has picked up an injury, so we'll find out more as soon as we can about the extent of the injury to him.
Well, we just spotted him coming out on crutches, didn't we?
Yes, so, you know, it doesn't look promising. We'll try and find out more about Kyle Leatheren and his injury status, and will Matt Macy play in goal against his former club, because he had a loan spell with Luton Town a couple of seasons ago. So there's lots of little things bubbling away in the background. Argyle will still be without Anthony Sarsavic as he completes a two-match suspension. So it's going to be a tough game for Argyle on Saturday. Sonny Bradley, of course, returning to home pipe, Mike. And what a good servant he was to Argyle over two seasons, wasn't he?
I was gutted when he went. Mm. Out of all the departures, Sonny Bradley was the one that I regretted most, I think.
Yeah, I think a lot of the fans would feel the same as well. I mean, he wore his heart on the sleeve and
he was a leader. Mm.
And no surprise that he's now the captain of Luton as well.
That's right.
He's got the captain's armband. So, so anyway, we've got Luton Town coming up on Saturday. It's going to be a big crowd. I think Luton have sold all of their tickets already. I'm sure there'll be plenty of Argyle fans out. We'll have all our build-up that you would expect to a big game like that. And on the day of the game, a live blog, the player ratings, the manager reaction. So, you know, make sure you stay tuned to the Plymouth Live website over the coming days, because there's going to be plenty of content in the build-up to that game and on the day of the match. Mike, thank you very much for joining me for this week's podcast. I think we both warmed up a little bit after watching the game against Milton Keynes Dons in the Central League. So thank you for your company, Mike.
It's been a pleasure.
And giving us your insight into Argyle's youth players and youth development. And we will be back again next week with another episode of Argyle Chat. Bear in mind, though, of course, that Argyle are playing Shrewsbury in League One next Tuesday, which is March the 12th, off the top of my head, I think it is. It's next Tuesday. So the podcast will be on the Wednesday when we'll look back on the games against Luton and Shrewsbury. So until then, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for listening. For all the latest Argyle news, head to the Plymouth Live website.